ಗೋವಿಂದ ದೇಶಿಕಂ ಉಪಾಸ್ಯ ಸ್ಥಿರಾಯ ಭಕ್ತ್ಯಾಂ ತಸ್ಮಿನ್ ಸ್ಥಿತೇ ನಿಜಮಾಹಿನ್ ವಿದೇಹ ಮುಕ್ತ್ಯಾಂ ಅದ್ವೈತ್ಯ ಭಾಷ್ಯಂ ಉಪಕಲ್ಪ ದಿಶೋ ವಿಜೀತ್ಯಾಂ ಕಾಂಚೀಪುರೇ ಸ್ಥಿತಂ ಅವಾಪಸಾ ಶಂಕರಾಯ ರತಿಸ್ಮೃತಿ ಪುರಾಣಾನಾಂ ಆಲಯಂ ಕರುಣಾಲಯಂ ನಮಾಮಿ ಭಗವತ್ಪಾದ ಶಂಕರಂ ಲೋಕಶಂಕರಂ ಅಪಾರ ಕರುಣಾ ಸಿಂಧುಂ ಜ್ಞಾನತಂ ಶಾಂತರೂಪಿಣಂ ಶ್ರೀ ಚಂದ್ರಶೇಖರ ಗುರುಂ ಪ್ರಮಾಮಿ ಮುದಾಮ್ಯಹಂ ಸದಾಶಿವ ಸಮಾರಂಭಾಂ ಶಂಕರಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಮಧ್ಯಮಾಂ ಅಸ್ಮದಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಪರ್ಯಂತಾಂ ವಂದೇ ಗುರು ಪರಂಪರಾಂ ವಿತ್ ಬೆನಿಡಿಕ್ಷನ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಆದಿಶಂಕರ ಆಚಾರ್ಯ ಆಂಡ್ ಟು ಹಿಸ್ ಲಿನಿಯೇಜ್ ಅಪ್ ಟು ದ 69th ಗುರು ಆಫ್ ದ ವೆನರೇಟೆಡ್ ಕಾಮಕೋಟಿ ಪೀಠಂ ಪೂಜ್ಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಜಯೇಂದ್ರ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ಸ್ವಾಮೀಜಿ ಹೂಸ್ ಬಿನೈನ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಆಗಸ್ಟ್ ಪ್ರೆಸೆನ್ಸ್ ದಿಸ್ ಫಂಕ್ಷನ್ ಇಸ್ ಬೀಂಗ್ ಹೆಲ್ಡ್ ಐ ವೋಟ್ ಹಿಮ್ ಆಸ್ ಐ ಕಮೆನ್ಸ್ ಮೈ ಅಡ್ರೆಸ್ ಟುಡೇ ಇಟ್ ಗಿವ್ಸ್ ಮೀ ಗ್ರೇಟ್ ಪ್ಲೆಷರ್ ಟು ವೆಲ್ಕಮ್ ಯು ಆಲ್ ಟು ದಿಸ್ ಪ್ಲೆಸೆಂಟ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಸಾಲಂ ಫಂಕ್ಷನ್ ಆರ್ಗನೈಸ್ಡ್ ದಿಸ್ ಈವ್ನಿಂಗ್ ಟು ಕನ್ಫರ್ ದ 16th SIS ಶ್ರೀ ಚಂದ್ರಶೇಖರೇಂದ್ರ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ನ್ಯಾಷನಲ್ ಎಮಿನೆನ್ಸ್ ಅವಾರ್ಡ್ ಟು 3 ಡಿಸ್ಟಿಂಗ್ವಿಶ್ಡ್ ಚಿಲ್ಡ್ರನ್ ಆಫ್ ಮದರ್ ಇಂಡಿಯಾ ಅಂಡ್ ಟು 1 ಗ್ಲೋಬಲ್ ಸಿಟಿಸನ್ ಹೂ ಬೈ ಯರ್ ಕಾಂಡಕ್ಟ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಆಕ್ಷನ್ ಇಸ್ ಮೋರ್ ಅನ್ ಇಂಡಿಯನ್ ದನ್ ಮೋಸ್ಟ್ ಇಂಡಿಯನ್ಸ್ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಕ್ಲೇಮ್ ದೆಮ್ಸೆಲ್ಸ್ ಟು ಬಿ ಈಚ್ ಒನ್ ಆಫ್ ದಮ್ ಏಲ್ಸ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಅ ಡಿಸ್ಟಿಂಕ್ಟ್ ವಾಕ್ ಆಫ್ ಲೈಫ್ ಇನ್ ದಿ ಅಗ್ರಿಗೇಟ್ ಆಲ್ ಆಫ್ ದಮ್ ರೆಪ್ರೆಸೆಂಟ್ ದ ಫುಲ್ ಸ್ಪೆಕ್ಟ್ರಮ್ ದ ಗ್ಯಾಮಿಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಲೈಫ್ ಇನ್ ಅ ಸೆನ್ಸ್ ದೇರ್ ಫೋರ್ ದಿಸ್ ಅವಾರ್ಡ್ ಈಸ್ ಅ ಸೆಲೆಬ್ರೇಷನ್ ಈಸ್ ಅ ಸೆಲೆಬ್ರೇಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ಲೈಫ್ ಇಟ್ ಸೆಲ್ಫ್ ದೀಸ್ ಅವಾರ್ಡ್ಸ್ ಆರ್ ನೇಮ್ಡ್ ಆಫ್ಟರ್ ದಿ ಪರಮಾಚಾರ್ಯ ದಿ ಮಹಾಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಆಫ್ ಕಾಂಚಿ ಪೂಜ್ಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಚಂದ್ರಶೇಖರೇಂದ್ರ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ಸ್ವಾಮೀಜಿ ದ 68th ಶಂಕರಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಆಫ್ ದ ವೆನರೇಟೆಡ್ ಕಾಮಕೋಟಿ ಪೀಠಂ ಆನ್ ಅನ್ ಒಕೇಶನ್ ಲೈಕ್ ದಿಸ್ ಇಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಬಟ್ ನ್ಯಾಚುರಲ್ ಫಾರ್ ಒನ್ ಟು ರೆಮಿನಿಸ್ ಟು ಗೋ ಡೌನ್ ದ ಮೆಮರಿ ಲೇನ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಟು ಗೆಸ್ ಫಾರ್ ಒನ್ ಸೆಲ್ಫ್ ಎಸ್ ಟು ಹೌ ಎನ್ ಆರ್ಡಿನರಿ ಬಾಯ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಅನ್ ಆಬ್ಸ್ಕ್ಯೂರ್ ವಿಲೇಜ್ ಆಫ್ ಇನ್ ತಮಿಳುನಾಡು ಬಾರ್ನ್ ಇನ್ ಹೊಯ್ಸಾಲ ಕಮ್ಯುನಿಟಿ ಆಫ್ ಬ್ರಾಹ್ಮಿನ್ಸ್ ಇನ್ ಕರ್ನಾಟಕ ಗ್ರಾಜ್ಯುಯೇಟೆಡ್ ಹಿಮ್ಸೆಲ್ಫ್ ಟು ಬೀಯಿಂಗ್ ಒನ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಫೋರ್ ಮೋಸ್ಟ್ ಸೇಂಟ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿ 20th ಸೆಂಚುರಿ ಈ ವಾಕ್ ದ ಲೆಂಗ್ತ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಬ್ರೆಡ್ತ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿಸ್ ಕಂಟ್ರಿ ಡ್ಯೂರಿಂಗ್ ಇಸ್ ಸೆಂಚುರಿ ಲಾಂಗ್ ಸುಜಾನ್ ಸ್ಪ್ರೆಡಿಂಗ್ ಗುಡ್ ವಿಲ್ ಕಂಪ್ಯಾಷನ್ ಆಲ್ ಅರೌಂಡ್ ಲೈಕ್ ದ ಲೈಟ್ ಹೌಸ್ ದಟ್ ಬೀಟ್ಸ್ ನೋ ಡ್ರಮ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಸೌಂಡ್ಸ್ ನೋ ಗಾಂಗ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಎಟ್ ಟು ದ ಮ್ಯಾರಿನರ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಡಿಸ್ಟೆಂಟ್ ಸೀ ವುಡ್ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪೀರಿಯನ್ಸ್ ಇಟ್ಸ್ ಫ್ರೆಂಡ್ಲಿ ಲೈಟ್ ಸೊ ಟು ವಾಸ್ ದ ಸೇಜ್ ಆಫ್ ಕಾಂಚಿ ಹು ಸ್ಪ್ರೆಡ್ ಗುಡ್ ವಿಲ್ ಆಲ್ ಅರೌಂಡ್ ದಿಸ್ ಮೇಸ್ಟರ್ ಆಫ್ ಮೇಸ್ಟರ್ಸ್ ವಾಸ್ ಲೈಕ್ ಎ ಲೇಂಬಿಯನ್ ಲೈಟ್ ಹೂ ರೀಕಿಂಡಲ್ಡ್ ದ ಸ್ಪಿರಿಟ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ನೇಷನ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಬ್ರಾಟ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ರಿನೈಸಾನ್ಸ್ ಇನ್ ಮೆನಿ ಫೀಲ್ಡ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ರಿಲಿಜಿಯನ್ ಥಾಟ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಪ್ರಾಸೆಸ್ He taught mankind groping in the dark, despite all those strides in science and technology, as to how to stride to a higher journey, higher destination, the Atma Swaraj, the full freedom. To the countless number of people, he was the voice of eternal India. He attained Videh Mukti on the 8th of January, 1994. 20 years later, we still hear the divinity of his voice and the infinitude of his presence. The Mahaswami of Kanchi lives in the hearts and minds of his devotees. In its own unobtrusive way, the Kanchi Math symbolizes the spirit of Hinduism, more tolerant, non-didactic and philosophical. With his aura, credibility and authority gained over 87 years the pontificate of this venerated Pitam, the Mahaswami remained at the center stage of the spiritual rejuvenation and the renaissance that was brought about in the 20th century in this ancient land of ours. We are meeting today to remember the Mahaswami. I believe it is immaterial to him today as it was during his living times. It was far beyond honors, titles and accolades. And we mortals were ever in need of honoring him as a way of symbolizing the reality that he represented for us. I have from this very platform addressed all those faces of the Mahaswami of Kanchi, those particular traits of the Mahaswami that brought greatness into him, that thrust greatness into him, that brought his greatness being showered onto others all during his living life of 100 years. I had brought home those particular aspects of the Mahaswami in these 15 years of my address from this same Vyasapita ever since the inception of this award as to why the Mahaswami of Kanchi is relevant at all times. I have said time and again that he is more relevant today than he was during his living times. And I continue to say that he will be more relevant in centuries down than during the times that he existed, than during the times people like you and me were benefited by his walk on this earth. The sage of Kanchi will ever remain relevant as far as there is righteousness all around. I have always described the sage as one who lived the life of a sage in the true sense of the term. Reverend Dalai Lama, after visiting the Mahaswami for the first time in his ashram in Kanchipuram, when he came out, he said, "At last I have seen a true sage." a sage in the true sense of the term, my life mission is now complete. The description of a sage, the sannyasi, Adi Shankara says, when he comes to his mother and asks her for her consent at the tender age of 8 that he wants to take sannyas and go and achieve those higher purposes of life, the natural love and affection of the mother does not allow the child to be given the sannyas. So therefore she refuses to give. Shankara pleads with her, cajoles her. She says that you will be divorced from all the connects on this earth. You will be divorced from the family. You will be divorced from the society when you become a sannyasi. And Shankara then describes what a sannyasi is all about. He says, to all those who give me the bhiksha, the alms when I come every morning, bhikshandehi, they are my mothers. To all those gurus and the preceptors who teach me the higher purpose of life, the essence of life, they are my fathers. To the countless number of Shishya Varga to whom I transfer all the knowledge that I take from my gurus and preceptors, they are my sons. That ekanta, that solitude, that quietude that descends onto me in that contemplative phase of mind when I go into meditation in search of the higher purpose of life, that is my wife. O mother, what is it that I do not have? You mortals have only one husband, have only one wife, a few children, but I have plenty and more of them. The Mahaswami of Kanchi lived this true life as Shankara described when he sought the consent of his mother. He was easily approachable. Nobody returned from his effulgent presence without a sense of smile in his face, without a satisfaction of having seen a guru, when the fact remained that he spoke very less or did not speak at all. It was that radiance, it was that face, it was that quietness in him that brought goodness to people all around. I have spoken about his contribution to national integration. I have covered at length his role, responsibility in the drafting of the constitution of the country itself when he gave those Article 26-27 to Dr. Ambedkar. I have spoken about Shankara the Advaitin and Chandrasekhara Saraswati the Advaitin. I have spoken about his role responsibilities in uniting the country through various religious practices. I think time has come for me to move away from these micro facets of his personality to the larger issue of the Mahaswami, the larger religion that he adopted, of which you and I are also part of it. He belonged to the Hindu religion, and how well he used the Hindu religion during his 100 years of sojourn in this universe is something which you need to take home. If singularly there is one religion which has never been understood, it is the Hindu religion. The word Hindu means love. The word Hindu also means ahimsa or abhorrence of violence. But the common nomenclature you and I carry about Hindu is essentially the Westerners who crossed the river Indus and then came onto this country. And those settlements on the banks of river Indus, they called this as India, and the people who stayed there, they called them as Indians. Unlike other religions which have found us, Jaina for Jainism, Christ for Christianity, this religion has no founder. If at all it has got an origin, it is the Vedas itself. Ananta vai Vedaha, Vedas themselves are eternal. And therefore this religion is also called as Vainika Dharma, Vaidika Dharma or Sanatana Dharma. But in the larger sense of the term, this is not a religion at all. This is a way of life. And how well this way of life was propounded by the Mahaswami of Kanchi during his 87 years of discourse all across the country is what brings home the greatness of this religion. But over the years, the religion has lost its relevance, because the way of life that this religion has given has been lost into religious ritualistic dogmas that is now dominating this culture. And therefore today its influence is confined to India, to Nepal, parts of the ASEAN countries and a few of the Caribbean islands. The largest dominant faith, the Christianity, accounts for more than 30% of the faithfuls in this world. And the fastest growing religion, Islam, accounts for more than 20% of the faithfuls all across the globe. The relevance of Hinduism, in a sense people fear, has been lost onto a micro section of the population, which is just less than 10% of the population. The Mahaswami built the edifice of his thought on Hinduism, not on all those religious practices as I said, but built it on the larger canvas of the way of life itself. And he built it on 7 pillars, which I call as Saptabhimangal, 7 pillars on which the entire Hinduism was built. Dr. Karan Singh, addressing A section in Delhi only a week or 2 weeks before took 5 of them and said, he said, this 5 out of them, the Panchasutras, are relevant as far as Hinduism is concerned. The Mahaswami built it on the thought, the first one is on truth. The entire way of life is described on the fundamentals of truth. And the Upanishad says, Ekam Sat Vipra Bahudha Vadanti. Truth is one, sages say it differently. No matter how you say it, truth does not undergo a change. Truth is truth. That is why we say Satyameva Jayate. Ultimately, truth wins. And that is why it has been adopted by the Government of India in its own emblem, that this is the emblem of the Government of India. Satyam Vada Dharmam Chara. Practice righteousness, but always speak the truth. Guru Nanak Dev went one step ahead. Satcho Uray Uparlaye Sach. Truth is one thing, but truthful living is entirely different. The Mahaswami of Kanchi concentrated all his life on that aspect of truth, namely truthful living and not truth alone. It's how well we live the life of, which is as truthful as it can be, that makes a difference. The second one that comes out of this is the flexibility of this religion, the non-rigidity of this religion, the ability to absorb various thoughts from all over. Ano Badraha Kratavo Yantu Vishwataha, says the Rig Veda. Let noble thoughts come to us from all directions. And when they come to us from all directions, the Mahaswami says, this mind should not be like a mirror, that it reflects all the thoughts away after taking it for itself. It should be like a window, that will not only take the thoughts in, take something for itself, absorb it, assimilate it, and then transfer it for the world. This is the greatness of the religion, the tolerance that we are speaking about. Then we are, the Ketopanishad says, Yastis sarvani bhutani atmanyam anupashyati, sarvabhuteshu cha atmanam tatto na vikupate. This is the highest state of supreme consciousness that any human being can ever achieve in life. This is the state of love, non-hatred, that can come to a person. When you see yourself in others and see others in yourself, there is no hatred at all. And this is what the religion tells you, that see yourself in others and see others in yourself. And once you reach that state of mind, then how can you hate yourself, because you see yourself in others? The supreme state of consciousness is the hallmark of this religion. Vasudeva Kutumbukam is the thought which again the Upanishads have given. I am Nijah Parovedi, Gananam Laguchetasam, Udara Charitanam Tu, Vasudeva Kutumbukam. To those narrow minded people in this universe, this is mine, that is yours. But to the large hearted, the entire world is one family. To most of us who are carried by the Western thoughts, the globalization that seems to have haunted most of us, which is a product of the 20th century, let me remind you, this thought was given more than 5,000 years ago. This tiny global village that we speak in economic terms, as far as the economic councils are concerned in the 20th century, these are all enshrined in this religion much, much before in the Vedas itself. The next pillar is that you don't have to seek God anywhere. There is nothing called as God. You are God yourself. Aham Brahmasmi. There is divinity residing in each one of us. It is the manifestation of this divinity that will determine how good or bad you are. Therefore, when you try to seek yourself, you walk across in the streets and say that I am God, myself, I am the creator, myself, people will dismiss you as a fool. That is why the religion gives you a graduated step of understanding that ultimately you are your own creator, you are the architect, you are the master of your own destiny. Pratamam pratima puja, japas totrani madhyamam, udyamam manasika puja, and ultimately comes aham brahmasmi. You start with idol worship. And from there you graduate to singing in the glory of the Lord and the divine, the unseen, the invisible. Then you grow inward and start absorbing, meditating yourself into realizing that you are capable of doing things. And ultimately you will reach that stage in life where you are the creator yourself. Can there be a religion which can always say that you are God? Can there be a religion which says that entire village, entire world is one? Can there be one thought which says that everything is built only on truth and nothing else? Can love and non-hatred be fundamental to a religion? These are not religions. These are in fact ways of life. This is how a person should live for all these attributes. And the most pinnacle of all the thoughts, the seventh pillar that
this religion gives to us. Misnomer that it is called as a religion because that's a convenient word to use it, but otherwise it's a way of life. That comes from the Bhagavad Gita where the Lord himself says, you are responsible for your destiny. Uttare tatmanam atmanam na atmanam avasadayet. Atmaiva atmano banduhu atmaiva riputatmanaha. You are your friend. You are your enemy. You alone can upgrade yourself. You alone will denigrate yourself. If at all anyone can make a difference to yourself, it is you alone. So this religion is only a support, it's only a crutch, it's only a catalyst. This is an influence that will enable you to achieve the higher purposes of life. And this is what the Mahaswami propounded through his Daivatin Kural, all through his life, built it block by block, section by section, so that people understand what it is. He never spoke of a religion, but he spoke about the greatness of the way of life itself. Now coming to at least a micro issue, because I have never closed my address without talking about at least one facet of the Mahaswami of Kanchi, a particular facet of him which is distinct and different. And therefore today I thought, having spoken on several issues, today I will speak on the thought of fasting. There are two reasons. Of course the reasons are very evident. Once you have Annasare there, fast becomes relevant, topical, and it is current. And a subject like fasting can never be complete without at least its peripheral influence, the deep influence that it had on the Mahaswami of Kanchi and the father of nation, Mahatma Gandhi. The steel of a yogi guru could not abstain from food for long, and he had to give up the campaign and run away from the steel. But the steel of an old man, young as he were, to usher in a corruption-free era, could stand abstinence from food for long, long, so that it could bestir the conscience of the nation and ultimately bring forth the desired results. This is the power of fasting. Fasting in Sanskrit is upavas. Upavasa in Marathi also we call it upavas. Upavas means sitting next. This is the exact translation of the word upavasa. What does sitting next to do with abstaining from food as we all understand it? The Mahaswami beautifully explains this by saying, what upavasaha? Swaminaha samipe tishtati vasasa upavasaha. Where do you sit? When you sit next in meditation, in contemplative mood, deeply absorbed in the thought of the Lord, where is the time to think of eating? Because you are absorbed in Him. It is that state of mind that you bring yourself to. That is what this fasting is all about. It is just not abstinence from food. Abstinence from food is only a process of this fasting. That is why fasting yields results. That is why fasting besters people. Otherwise, fasting will make people say, let him die. Because of this power that he draws, that influences people and arouses public opinion. To those of us who have not seen the freedom movement, I have not seen and many would not have seen, the movement against corruption brings home the power of non-violence. Because the non-violence which went into liberating this country, we had not experienced. But today we are able to see what it can do. Lokpal is an idea which is current, and the idea has germined to today's needs. But if 8 times over the last 4 decades it had gone to the parliament and returned unlegislated, it is very poor advertisement of those elected representatives of ours over these 45 years who claim to uphold the movement against corruption, no less than that of the civil society, but most of whom have contributed to it, perpetuated it, and grown it to the levels that we have witnessed today. It required the fast of one man sitting in an obscure village in Ralegaon Siddhi to bestir this nation. So in the 9th time it went to the parliament and came back, you could see strange equations that can take place in the parliament which you have never seen before. Don't for a moment think that the power of Anna had troubled them, because they knew that the conscience of the nation is bestirred, and time has come. If at 75 years somebody has to do this, it will sooner or later come on to these elected people, and time has come therefore to address the need for a Lokpal, no matter whether we have ideological differences on that. This is the great strength of upavas that we have. As early as 1930, the father of nation fasted in the movement against apartheid. For 7 days he fasted. That was the first fast that he had. And then for 4.5 months immediately following those 7 days, He abstained from food. He had only two times food. He abstained the second time food in support of the movement against apartheid. When he came back to this country in the year 1924, he fasted for again 21 days for Indo-Muslim unity. Those were the times when the constitution was discussing a separate nation or a single nation theory. Be it the Ahmedabad Kara Satyagraha, be it the Chora Chori, be it any of those more, Rowlatt Act, each one of them, the Mahatma fasted not to bring the Britishers down to his knee. He had fasted to bring home the effect of the movement that itself was being championed and pioneered by him, and bring strength to the movement and arouse public opinion to see the light of the day as far as these movements are concerned. When this nation attained independence on the 15th of August 1947, when the world woke up to freedom at the dead of night and celebrated freedom, the Mahatma was nowhere around. He was in Kolkata and he was fasting for Hindu-Muslim unity, those pre-partition riots which had started, the partition riots which started, and he was observing fast even during that time. The Mahaswami of Kanchi always used to refer to a verse from the Mahabharata, Panche Ahani Shashteva. If a day were to be divided into eight parts, it is in the fifth or the sixth part, a Brahmin is expected to eat a morsel of food, only this much of food. Aparihara, non-possessing, this is the greatest virtue of a Brahmin. That Brahmin is no longer available in this planet. That Brahmin has vanished from our sight. The Mahaswami himself took three morsels of food all through his lifetime. On one pretext or other, he will give up food. Even those three morsels, he will give up away. And it so happened that on a Sunday evening, I have said this before, it is worth repeating again because I am in the context of fasting, that Sunday evening, he was about to go for Anushtana. And then a Muslim woman came running into his ashram. She was wailing, inconsolable. Then she shouted at him and said, "Is this all that you have taught to your Hindu community?" As the head of that community, she had lost her husband in the mindless partition riots which had even come to south of India. For a moment, the inner equilibrium of the Mahaswami was disturbed. He went into deep contemplation. And then he started realizing, if I cannot address the veil of this woman, the least that I can do is to give up food every Sunday evening. And for 48 long years from 1946 till his Videha Mukti in 1994, he fasted for the larger cause of fraternal relationships between human beings. This is the strength of fasting. It has nothing to do with just abstinence from food. These are difficult times for this nation. Fissiparous tendencies have gained a currency. Divisive elements are rocking the bottom of the society, the fabric of the society. The Indian-ness has evaporated into the thin. There is an identity crisis. To most of the traditional old Indians, they believe India is on the brink or is about to come to that. It is not that we have not in the past experienced such difficulties. Each time when adversity has surrounded this country, it has come back stronger than before. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata sambhavami yuge yuge, save the Lord himself. If you don't come back stronger, I will come and restore righteousness and order into the civil society, he says. And therefore the nation has always drawn strength at all points of time in history. But yet, despite the morass that is surrounding this society, the despondency that is there, the despair which is there are still islands of excellence all over this country. These are stars which are shining brightly. It might be a fact that one single moon dispels darkness. Ekas chandratamohanti nachatara vanyacha. But hundreds of stars are still existing which also shed the light. And amongst them, a few of them are seated over here. And many more are seated, ensconced as they were in their activities in various parts of the country. Sri Atal Bihari Vajpayee ji, the former Prime Minister of our country, who himself was decorated with this award in the year 2007, contributed significantly to this nation through his political and administrative acumen. Beyond that, he also used the power of his pen to arouse public opinion so that he could ignite the passion of people. Talking about these situations, which he had also experienced, because we were part of the same living times as Atalji, he once wrote and said, Ahuti baki, yajna adura, apno ko vigno se gera, antim jai ki vrajya banaye, naye dadichi haddiya gilaye, avo fir se diya jalaye, avo fir se diya jalaye. Time has come Anna spoke about second freedom. Atalji spoke about second freedom. And he said, let us light that lamp. Just not that lamp that dispels darkness. Just not that lamp that brings you some light to close by. That lamp that energizes this nation. That lamp that brings us all together as an united force. The one that elevates us to higher levels of understanding and takes this nation to its rightful place amongst the committee of nations, one of the most developed nations in the world. That would be a true Siddhanjali that we'll pay to the likes of the Mahaswami and thousands of saints and freedom fighters all over this country for all that they did during their living times for the cause of humankind. And that would be our response to the greatness of the saints whom we are remembering at all points of time in history. May the Mahaswami shed his grace on all of them. May they live long, Jeevet Sharatashtatam, so that their mission, let it continue. If their mission continues, this nation will move forward. We will be inspired to also join in and take it forward. May the Jahan Mata Kamakoti Kamakshi shed her grace on them. May the Guru who is present over here give his benign blessings to all of them. May the Guru also shed his grace on all of us, so that we can take a leaf out of the life of nobility of all these men and women and make our own life sublime. Thank you. God bless you all.